that they used to seek istisqa, seek rain by Al-Abbas, uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he used to say, O Allah, we used to seek rain while our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, and he used to give us the rain. And now we asking you, Allah, okay, since the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is not alive anymore, so now they both the best among them, or the one who's related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is his uncle, and they let him lead them in this and say, oh Allah, we used to ask you, okay, for favor us, you understand, because the Prophet here, or for the sake, you understand, of the Prophet, please give us the rain. Now the Prophet is not here, Abbas, his uncle here, okay, and we used to ask you, so we asking you today, with the presence of Al-Abbas here, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, oh Allah, please give us the rain. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give them the rain. And this hadith, it shows you that you did not call in anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You don't ask anybody except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And you did not take anybody who is dead as a mediator between you and Allah. Otherwise, why they put the Abbas? Why they did not call in the Prophet? Alaykum as-salam. You see? So if the person is dead, you could not call or you ask Allah by a dead person. Okay? You could not ask Allah you could not ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless you or to favor you or to help you for the sake of somebody who is dead. Okay? Because the Sahaba, they did not do this. They understood the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he was alive. Yes, they will ask him to be their leader, their imam, and they will appeal to Allah, oh Allah, you know how you favor your Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so give us the rain. But now the Prophet is not alive, they did not say, oh Prophet of Allah, ask Allah, or oh Allah, because your Prophet, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, they did not do this. But they took other means, and they got the best among them who's related to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also, and they call in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah had gave them the rain. And the hadith, as I said, is authentic. Hadith number 410, وَعَنْهُ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, still the same, that mean Anas, قال أصابنا ونحن مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مطر قال فحسر ثوبه حتى أصابه من المطر وقال إنه حديث عهد بربه رواه مسلم. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim is authentic and reported by Anas that shower of rain fell when we were with Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who removed his garment till some of the rain fell on him and said, it has recently been with its Rabb. Okay? That means just coming from Allah, coming fresh. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he took it like he squeezed something because just rain coming. Okay? And he said it's fresh. Something just coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he wanted to touch him. Okay? So, and this is the sunnah that when it's raining, you understand, you can go, as example, open your shirt and let some rain fall in you or fall in some part of your body, because this water is a pure water. It's a pure water. It cleans you and it's good. And this is the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's coming from up. Something fresh, just coming, blessing coming from Allah is just a fresh coming. So he he remove and let the water, the rain touch him. This hadith shows us that the sunnah in the time of rain, that you remove part of your soap or your shirt and let some of this rain touch your body. The meaning, as Imam al-Nawawi rahmatullah alayhi, when he says that is a fresh and recent coming from the Lord, that mean is a fresh creation. Fresh creation just coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Exposing yourself to the rain because this is mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith number 411, page 182. كان صلى الله عن عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم كان إذا رأى المطر قال اللهم صيبا نافعا اللهم صيبا نافعا. أخرجاه أي البخاري ومسلم. The hadith by Aisha in the collection of Imam Bukhari and Muslim is authentic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he used to see the rain, he would say what? Sayban nafi'a. He would say what? Sayban nafi'a. Yeah. Sayban nafi'a. Yeah. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw a rain sending down a beneficial downpour. Okay? Sayyiban nafi'a. Hadith number 412. وعن سعيد رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم دعا في الاستسقاء اللهم جللنا سحابا كثيفا قصيفا دلوقا ضحوكا تمطرنا منه رذاذا قد قطى سحلا يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. The hadith is authentic and it tells you also about some of the prayer or the supplication of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam when he used to make Salat al-Istisqa, the prayer asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the rain. Hadith number 413 عن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم excuse me, I forgot to. That means the general meaning of the hadith, that he will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to cover all the property with this rain and to be a lot with thunder in it and to be continuously. That means for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make it in general blessing for the land and to be enough. Hadith number 413 وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم خرج قال خرج سليمان عليه السلام يستسقي فرأى نملة مستلقية على ظهرها رافعة قوائمها إلى السماء تقول اللهم إنا خلق من خلقك ليس بنا غنى عن سقيات فقال ارجعوا قد سقيتم بدعوة غيركم. This hadith in Al-Hakim says the hadith is authentic, but some scholars they said that in the collection of Imam Al-Ahmad, which is not, I had hard time really to reach a conclusion on it, but the hadith in the collection of Imam Al-Hakim, which reporting about that the Prophet Sulaiman, when he came out asking Allah for rain, he saw an ant laying down in its back, raising her hands and her legs up, okay, to the sky, and the ant was saying, O Allah, we are part of your creation, we are very bad need for your rain. So when Sulaiman saw this, he said to the people, go back to your houses, because somebody already had made the dua and the rain be coming soon. But regardless how good the hadith is, authentic or not authentic, Allah knows best. But in as we understand, the Quran told us that وَمَا مِنْ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا يُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِ. There is nothing in this global except glorify the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And don't you understand, see to be too far for an ant calling in Allah or a bird or anything like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us they are nations like us, and that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made all these things to see his greatness. And some of the righteous people, when they used to go for rain, they used to take the women, take the children, take the animals, everything out, okay? Because it's not only that you the only one needs the rain, but it may be even sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will give the people because this other animals and other creatures that been exist in the earth, okay? Because you know, human being, he commits a sin, right? And the drought can be as a result of our sins. But these animals, in some cases, I don't want to say can be better, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that some of the human beings, they're worse even than animals, okay? So taking the animals and all these things, maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you rain because this life things, if it's not for you, okay? The last hadith in this chapter, which hadith number 414 or 414. This is page 182. وعن أنس رضي الله تعالى عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم استسقى فأشار بظهر كفيه إلى السماء. أخرجه مسلم. This hadith from Anas that Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, he called for rain and he pointed the sky with the back of his hand, okay? That means some scholars, they explain this hadith by saying that he raised his hand so far, okay, to such degree that you can see that when he raised them too far, they became twisted and the back of the hands now is up to the sky. While others, they understood that when you're asking for something good, JazakAllah khairan, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, that when you call in Allah for something good, that you call with the bottom of your hands up, you want to receive. And then when you ask in Allah to lift some calamity, you call with the back. So this to get and this to lift. Okay? So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he was making Salat al-Istisqa, he raised his hand up and became the back of his hand to the sky. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. If you be patient with me, which is not time for Iqama yet, is it? Okay. We have about 15 to 24, this will make what? 7? Talk some about 7 hadith. We can go quick, we still, time is not for Iqama. I would like to finish this chapter, so when, inshallah, next week, if I'm still alive, we can talk about the funeral. Because there is no relationship between Libas and the funeral. Okay, so we can start a new chapter. So let's try to squeeze chapter number 17 today, if you don't mind. And this chapter concerning manners of clothing. Bab al-Libas. Hadith number 415. عن ابي عامر الاشعري رضي الله تعالى عنه قال: قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: ليكونن من امتي اقوام يستحلون الحرى والحرير. رواه ابو داود واصله في البخاري. This the original of this hadith or the root of this hadith in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, and also the narrator here in the book of Sunan al-Imam Abu Dawood, and the hadith is authentic, and that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this hadith consider one of the prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, okay, telling us about something which is going to happen in the future. And he said, لَيَكُونَنَّ مِنْ أُمَّتِ أَقْوَام, some of my people, some of my followers, some of those people, okay, they will come a time which they will deal or treat two objectionable things, two haram things, they will deal with them or they use them as if they are halal. And this is al-hira, and the second one is al-harir. That means fornication, adultery, will be some so-called Muslims having boyfriends, girlfriends, what you call temporary marriage, name it, all kind of things, and after this they will do it as if it's okay, that is not haram. And will be time which people will be drinking the khamr, the wine, and as if it's not haram. The continuation actually of this hadith, I should brought it here, but what from my, I don't see it any place here, but from my memory, that one of the things that came in this hadith, that is al-ma'azif, al-ma'azif, musical instruments, okay? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said that it will be part of my nation, they will deal with these things as if it is halal, is okay. Al-hira wal-harir wal-khamra wal-ma'adif. Fornication and adultery. Silk material, silk wear, clothes with silk, okay. And khamr, wine, and musical instruments. This shows you the same thing, like wine is forbidden, music is forbidden. Music forbidden to buy, to sell, to give as a gift, to deal with it in any fashion. Okay? But will be people coming that will live and deal with these things as if it's halal. But in actuality is what? It's haram. This hadith is a short version for it, or he gave the point that he want, and we understand that from al-kaba'ir, the major sin, that a person to wear harir, silk material, like a shirt or a pants or a suit made out of silk. Also fornication or adultery, or let's call it illegal sex, is haram. Hadith number 4116 reported by Huzaifa radiyallahu ta'ala anhu qal, naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam an nashraba fi aniyat al-zahab wal-fidda wa an na'kula fiha wa an libs al-harir wal-dibaj wa an najlis alayh. رواه البخاري. This hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bukhari, and the hadith reported by Huzaifa, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with him, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forbade us of drinking in the utensils of gold or silver. Okay? Doesn't matter if a pitcher or a glass or a cup, if it's made from gold or silver, is forbidden to drink in it. وَأَن نَأْكُلَ فِيهَا, also to eat in it, a dish, tray, a spoon, fork, is forbidden. Also he forbid us wearing silk or dibaj. Silk And dibesh is also another form of silk, but it's a little bit rough. It's not that soft like the silk, but still from the same thing. وَأَن نَجْلِسَ عَلَيْهِ. And also the Prophet ﷺ forbid us to sit on it. You could not use it as a couch or a cushion or a rug. Okay? It's forbidden. Hadith number 417, page 183. وعن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنه قال نهى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عن لبس الحرير إلا موضع أصبعين أو ثلاث أو أربع. متفق عليه. That the Prophet of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم forbade the wearing of silk except the size of two or three or four fingers. Okay? That means, like as example, the sleeve can be silk. The collar, okay? I'm sure Brother Abu Imran, he didn't make this from silk. You need to check with your wife. Okay, but still two fingers, okay? Or as example, the bucket, okay? This can be okay, but having something like the whole shirt silk, no, okay? Inshallah. Fadda. No. You're absolutely right. This hadith about that is lawful during the wedding, during the feast, but the only thing which is part of musical instrument is the duf. The duf is lawful during this occasion. And the duf is different from what you call the tamarind. Okay, Virginia. Tamarind. That means the one that has, you know, this metal symbol, and they be in the round the thing. So when you hit the skin, it make almost like the bell sound or something like. Okay. You know, like hitting metals together. This tambourine is forbidden. What is lawful during these occasions of marriage and feast, etc., is duf. And duf is nothing except the circle made out of wood and the sig. Yeah. It's only one type called duf. And the duf is a circle made of wood, and you have this skin of the animal been boiled and dry on it, so nothing else attached. This what you call it duf. This is the only form of musical instrument that lawful in the occasion. Wa iyyakum. Where we was in arba asabi', okay? And this hadith is authentic, reported by Ibn Umar, that is lawful for something to be, as example, on the collar, on the sleeve, like two, three, four fingers, no more than this. Okay? I assume so. And Allah knows best. Oh, this is a different issue now. What? Oh, you mean the tie for the neck? Oh, no, because there is a tie. The people tie shoes, they understand, with a tie. This is a shoe. Oh no. Like you tie one to the tree sometimes, understand, or to the bed with a silk one. So, but if you're talking about the tie that they stick it in the neck, this is something else now. I know some people, they have no choice because in the office they have to be with it. This is, inshallah, but they should, as soon as they step out of the office, they take it out and put it in the passenger seat beside them. Yeah, it's late. We talk about a tie in a different. Brother Dawood Adib, he can he have a cassette about this tie and give you the whole history and come with the cross and all this detail. I'm not specializing in a tie, I'm specializing in something else. Don't ask me what it is. See, I'm not specializing in anything. I'm only thinking that I'm specialized. Is it right? Right. Hadith number 418 before Aisha comes in, and Anas radiallahu anhu, and the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rakhasa li Abdul Rahman ibn Auf wa Zubair fi qamis al harir fi safa min hakkatin kanat bihima. And this is exception here, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had permit Abdul Rahman, may Allah be pleased with him, as well as Zubair, okay, in wearing shirt made out of silk while they were traveling, okay, because they have a hakka, is a type of itching, is like a sickness, okay, and the medicine for it was this kind of. Or maybe because they was in a traveling and the only thing they can use, itching, yeah. You see, so, but it tells us what is exception because the sickness. Yes, it still is exception, not for everyday use, okay, but because they have illness or sickness. Like he permit one of the Sahaba, his nose been broken, and he permit him to have one made out of gold. Okay, we talk about it later. I don't know if his wife hit it. No, I don't think it was his wife, but his nose been broken. How? I don't remember now. Hadith number 419, page 184. وعن علي بن أبي طالب رضي الله تعالى عنه قال كساني النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حلة سيرا فخرجت فيها فرأيت الغضب في وجهه فشققتها بين نسائي. This hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, reported by Ali, cousin of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, may Allah be pleased with him, that the Prophet ﷺ gave him as a gift a strip robe contained silk. Okay? That struck exactly. Okay? So like one silk, one this, one silk, one the other material. Okay? So when I came out with this, I can acknowledge and see the anger in the face of Rasulullah ﷺ. So as a result of this, I took it and I divided among my women, okay, or the women of my household, his wife, his mother, and his uncle, wife, all this, okay. Hadith number 420. وعن أبي موسى رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال أحل أحل الذهب والحرير أحل الذهب والحرير لإناث أمتي وحرم على ذكورهم. رواه أحمد والنسائي والترمذي وصححه. أبي موسى. The hadith is reported by Abu Musa, may Allah be pleased with him. The hadith in the collection of Imam Ahmad as well as النسائي والترمذي. The hadith is Hassan, inshallah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that gold and silk been made lawful, that means Allah permitted to the female of my nation and forbid it for the male of my nation. Gold and silk for women, not for men. Even if what you call wedding ring, still haram to wear it. Okay? Hadith Imran ibn Husayn radiallahu an, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inna Allah yuhibbu idha an'ama ala abdihi ni'matan an yara athara ni'mati alayh. The hadith is authentic in the collection of Imam al-Bayhaqi, that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses a slave with some blessings, bestow money or what you call fortune in him, that he would like to see the reflection of this. That means enjoy yourself, you understand? Going to go buy a pants for $2 from the thrift shop and you making $5,000 a month. Doesn't make sense, okay? Because Allah gave you, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to see the reflection, okay, the result, the impact of what he gave you, okay? Hadith number 422 عن علي رضي الله تعالى عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نهى عن لبس القسي والمعصفر. أخي المعصفر ده لونه إيه؟ أورنج ولا أحمر؟ لا أيوة بس ما الزعفران ده يعتبر إيه؟ أحمر ولا أورنج؟ برتقالي؟ مضروب أحمر بعلى برتقال. انت عندك الزعفران كتير يعني. You sure? Peach with reddish? Any, you know what this word in English, saffron. I think it's called saffron also. So this plant, when they take it and they make like a dye for the clothes from it, so when you dip the shirt in it, this called thawb mu'asfar, or this shirt is mu'asfar now. Okay, so this color is forbidden to be worn or to be used, okay, in your clothes. Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam forbid wearing the of silk and yellow clothes. It's not really yellow, but as you know what saffron now, okay? You know the saffron? Yeah, is they sell it in a small packet like this? Gold, huh? Dull, what do you mean by dull? Okay, so what is yellow? Okay, okay, it's not yellow, but it's yellow. You go to the health food store. Go to the health food store. Go to the health food store. Or go to one of these organics or oriental place or whatever it is. I think even in Food Line you may find it. Or ask your wife. What are you giving me? Ask your wife and she says, make a shortcut. Ask your wife what's saffron. Take it and put it in water and see what the color of it. Dip a piece of cotton in it and look at it what it look. So you will know which one that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had forbid for the people to wear as well as the silk. Hadith before the last one, hadith number 423, page 185. وعن عبد الله بن عمرو رضي الله تعالى عنهما قال رأى علي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم ثوبين معصفرين فقال أمك أمرتك بهذا. That Abdullah ibn Amr, may Allah be pleased with him, he was wearing this shirt or this kameez, the two swords, and they have this color. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam admonished him by saying, what did your mother order you to do so? Okay, did your mother, because it's part of the nature of women, this kind of colors is not for you to wear it, okay? Last hadith about Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, the hadith in the collection of Imam Muslim, so the hadith is authentic. So we know from this previous two hadiths that it's forbidden for the man to wear this color al-mu'asfar. Hadith, the last hadith in this chapter, page 185, حديث نمبر 424 وعن أسماء بنت أبي بكر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنها أخرجت جبة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم مكفوفة الجيب والكمين والفرجين بالدباج. رواه أبو داود وأصله في مسلم. وزاد كانت عند عائشة رضي الله تعالى عنها حتى قبض فقبضتها وكان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يلبسها فنحن نغسلها للمرضى نستشفي بها. وزاد البخاري في الادب المفرد وكان يلبسها للوفد والجمعة. Basically the hadith is saying that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم used to have jubba, and the jubba is almost like a robe, okay, is little bit thick and does not have pockets, it have only open for the sleeve, or sometimes they have a sleeve and this is it, okay. If you don't know what a jubba, you can see the one in the library here, okay. But Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, it seems that some people have doubted the matter of a person can wear silk as long as no more than 2 or 3 or 4 fingers. So what Aisha, she wanted to demonstrate, so Asma bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, she wanted to demonstrate this and show the people. She went and brought one of the clothes of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he used to wear it for Jum'ah, and he used to wear it also when he have like representative coming from other country, and the sleeve and the jib which is round the neck, and this, it has what? It has like the kala, and over the sleeve it have a silk material which about 2-3 finger size, okay? And this is to show that it is permissible to wear something that been coffin with a silk material, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And by this we finish until page 185, 30 classes alhamdulillah in Bulugh al-Maram. And next week we're going to be starting a new chapter which dealing with dead people and funeral and prayer and washing the dead people and all the things, inshallah. And if anybody want to attend the workshop, will be after next week, not this week coming, the next one in East Orange, Jersey, inshallah. I'll be making demonstrations there for janazah prayer and washing the dead and all the things, digging the grave. If anybody want to see it, catch it, ride with Brother Abdul Bari, inshallah. You want to fly with me, pay your own expenses. Any question, any comment, any correction? Since it's no, jazakumullah khairan. Subhanakallahumma bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Thank you for your patience. May Allah bless you all.